Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I miss my mom very much, every day. And I miss those last moments by her side, even though she was different then. We had created a little tradition. Every night, 13 minutes before midnight, she would tell me ghost stories. Very few times did I manage to stay awake before she finished, but some of those stories would stay with me as I lay awake all night, and some of them still haunt me today. My mom used to say, and at that time I thought it was just her way of setting the mood before the story, that these weren't just nighttime stories. No, she said. It was important that I never forget those stories, because they were going to protect me. Almost all of them were stories that had happened in our building. So sooner or later, she assured me, I was going to encounter the beings that inhabited those stories. The building where we lived had 5 floors. It was big and spacious, on a corner of 10th Street. The residents weren't the calm and quiet types. So, even though there were good people there, there were also a lot of people there you didn't want to get mixed up with. We lived in one of the last apartments on the 4th floor. My dad told me to never, under any circumstances, go up to the 5th floor. One of the stories that impacted me the most was also one of the first my mom told me. It was about a lady who lived on the 2nd floor. Her name was Teresa. She had a sewing supply store a few blocks from there. Her routine was always the same. She would leave at 6 in the morning to go set up her store and open it a little before 7. Many older ladies, a significant percentage of her clients, preferred to go buy everything they needed during those hours. At lunch, the lady would take an hour to go eat at home. She returned to her store and finally closed at 5 in the afternoon. That was the routine Miss Teresa had kept for the last 30 years since that store opened, since she had come to live there. But suddenly, out of nowhere, that routine changed. The lady started going to church every day. Several neighbors saw her there praying nonstop. She would leave very late, and only then, when the streets were empty, would she return to the apartment. She started running into some of those bad people in the building, something she had always tried to avoid. Some of the neighbors hadn't yet noticed the change in routine, which is why a lady from the 4th floor went down one evening to bring her lemon pie, Ms. Teresa's favorite. It was 7 o'clock, but the sun had already gone down. The stairwell, as usual, was dimly lit. Only the 3rd floor had a light bulb, which also flickered on and off. The neighbor approached Miss Teresa's door, but before knocking, she heard something inside. It was a very heavy sigh that seemed to her like a man's, but it was impossible, she thought. Miss Teresa never received visits. She didn't really socialize, she had no family. And come on, she had never had a boyfriend or a friend either. The lady knocked anyway. That sigh ceased. The lady yelled Miss Teresa's name, asked her if everything was okay. She got no response, so she quickly went to one of the neighbors, thinking Miss Teresa was in danger. The neighbor came out and looked for something to force open the door with, and the two ran back to Miss Teresa's apartment. There was someone behind the door and they doubted for a moment whether opening it was the best idea. The neighbor peeked under the door.
I think there's a dog in there, he said.
Suddenly, Miss Teresa's angry voice boomed from the stairwell.
It's Maguito. It's my dog. Leave him alone, please.
She was just arriving and found the neighbors trying to force open her door. The neighbor asked her what she had in there. Almost everyone knew Maguito, an abandoned dog that Miss Teresa had adopted. Half German Shepherd, half stray. The dog had seemed to be on his last days for almost 3 years, kept alive by Miss Teresa, love and affection. He was a friendly dog who made friends with everyone, even the worst people in the building. That neighbor knew Maguito, of course. She knew Maguito had died years before. She herself had accompanied Teresa to bury the dog in the woods nearby. She quickly asked Mrs. Teresa if she was okay, if she could help her with anything. But Teresa replied that everything was fine as she opened her apartment. The neighbor signaled the other neighbor to keep an eye on things and hurried to help Miss Teresa with her bags into the apartment. She tried to look around inside while they chatted. Then before leaving, the neighbor asked about Maguito.
Where did you say your dog is, Teresa? There? In your room?
The apartment was very small. Just one bedroom and another space that served as the kitchen and dining room. The neighbor snuck a glance into the bedroom before Miss Teresa could respond. But to her surprise, the room was also empty. She left Miss Teresa's apartment confused and asked the neighbor if he was sure he had seen a dog's legs under the door. The neighbor replied, yes, that they were two large hind legs, as if the dog had been standing on two legs, leaning against the door with its front paws. The lady decided to ignore it, although it was obvious there had been something inside before Miss Teresa arrived. They had heard it very clearly. But who knows, she thought. Maybe it had just been their imagination. At this point, my mom stopped the story to ask me a question.
Have you heard that dog howling sometimes very early in the morning?
Yes, I replied, on the second floor.
But have you ever seen it? Have you ever heard it during the day?
I hadn't, my mom continued the story. Weeks went by and now poor Miss Teresa would leave at 5 in the morning, although she didn't open her store until the usual time. She went to sit on a park bench until it was 7. Then, when she closed up shop, she went to church and prayed until very late. Sometimes they would close the church, and she'd just go right back to that park bench until midnight. Finally, when she couldn't stay out any longer, she returned to the building. Strange things started happening on the second floor. People heard noises inside that apartment, even when it was empty. Like someone pacing back and forth. Someone, not something, not an animal. Footsteps clear as day. Around that time, a neighbor ran into Miss Teresa arriving very late one night and managed to see inside her apartment. It was a complete mess, as if a tornado had gone through it. In the following weeks, that apartment became the most feared in the building, even more so than the infamous 5th floor, which had always been plagued by grisly stories. I got to know them all through my mom. I had developed a bad habit of waking up at 11 p.m. and just lying there, motionless, staring at the ceiling. That's when my mom would come to help me sleep. She told me that one day Miss Teresa simply didn't come back home. When they went looking for her at the store, they realized she hadn't opened it for weeks. The landlord soon took all her things out onto the street. Many thought that something bad had happened to her since she would stay out so late at night, but no one knew for sure. But they never saw her again. And months went by before someone occupied that apartment again. It was a family that had just arrived in the city, looking for work. The parents were very young, barely over 20, and their son was about 4 years old. The dad worked all day, and the mom would work at night. There was a small period of time, about half an hour, when the mom left, and the dad hadn't arrived yet. During that window, the neighbor across the hall watched the kid for them. The neighbor would check on him and return to her apartment to make dinner. One night, she entered the apartment and saw that everything was fine. She left the door ajar while she returned to her cooking. After a few minutes, she peeked in again. The kid was playing with his plastic wrestlers, so she went back home. And then she heard the kid talking to someone, almost yelling, as if surprised or scared. The neighbor quickly turned off the stove and ran over. Upon entering, she saw him standing where she had just left him, but staring at the dark bedroom. The light was off.
"What happened? Is someone there?"
she asked him. Without looking at her, the kid told her a dog had come out of the room and taken one of his wrestlers. The neighbor was very scared and pulled the child towards her. She noticed the little one was looking up at the ceiling.
"Where do you see the doggy?"
she asked him. The child pointed up high.
"It's there, standing,"
he replied. This particular neighbor had heard the noises that alarmed the entire building when Miss Teresa was there. But she didn't know about the dog. She hadn't met or heard of Maguito. She had no context for what the boy was saying. Suddenly, in the darkness, the neighbor saw a silhouette. Then, something fell and rolled out of the bedroom. It was one of the kid's wrestlers. The woman ran back to her apartment and locked the kid inside her place. Then ran back across and turned on the light in that dark room. There was nothing there. She checked the hallway, but it was also empty. When she told the child's father what had happened, he wasn't surprised. It wasn't the first time his son had mentioned the dog. The family left as soon as they found another place to live, and that apartment was empty again for years. But two other things happened that were related. First, the neighbor from the fourth floor, the one who had baked a pie for Miss Teresa. She got home one night past 2 in the morning after a party and went up the stairwell. With every floor she climbed, she passed the door to each floor. Each door had a window of very opaque glass, obstructing your view into the hallways. She was a little drunk, but upon reaching the door to the second floor, she heard something. A sound she remembered well. The same sound she had heard years before in Miss Teresa's apartment. She tried to peek through the door's window without opening it, and noticed in the dim light of the hallway that a figure was approaching. She managed to make out the silhouette on the other side of the door. It seemed to be a dog. A large-headed dog, like a German shepherd, but standing upright on 2 legs, completely straight, making it almost 6 feet tall. The poor lady's drunkenness wore off instantly. She ran up to her apartment and locked herself in there until her husband arrived. Both he and the neighbors attributed that vision to the alcohol and nothing more. However, that didn't explain what happened just a few nights later to the neighbor across the hall from Miss Teresa's apartment, the one who helped take care of the child. She was alone one night when her husband traveled south to visit an ill uncle. She didn't like living in that building, let alone being there without him. So she went to bed early. But almost at the stroke of midnight, she woke up. She heard the door of the apartment across the hall, which had been unoccupied for months, open in the distance. Then she heard her own door, which was locked, open without any force. She wanted to think it was her husband, but that made no sense at all, since he was hundreds of miles away. She didn't recognize the footsteps approaching and entering her bedroom either. She didn't even have time to hide. She was lying in bed looking at the door and just closed her eyes, as if just not looking at whatever was approaching would keep her safe. Whatever entered her bedroom went into a corner of her room, behind the door.
"Won't you open your eyes?"
The poor woman fainted right then, and woke up almost 12 hours later, exactly in the same position. The door to her apartment was closed, but it wasn't locked. She would have written it off as a bad dream if it wasn't because the neighbor next door said that when he arrived past midnight, he caught a glimpse of a tall figure that crossed from that apartment to the empty one across the hall.
"It's very important that you remember this story,"
my mom said.
"Because you have to be careful of everything. Understand? Tomorrow I'll tell you another one."
There were 13 minutes until midnight when my mom approached. My eyes were closed, but I heard that door creak open.
"I know you're awake,"
she told me.
"I know you love ghost stories. I'm gonna tell you another one."
Without opening my eyes, I nodded, "Yes." She moved towards the window and peeked behind the curtains. The view from our fourth floor apartment wasn't good. You could barely see that lonely downtown street. Even the police avoided that place.
"You have to fall asleep before your dad gets home. But it's important that you listen to what I tell you about the things that are in this building."
Then she told me the story. "I don't think you know anyone from the third floor. At least not since your uncle died. There's a reason why there are no more kids around here. Only people who can't live anywhere else live here. Some time ago, a young man arrived. You probably don't remember him. He was only 23 years old, but he had spent all his adult life in prison. You could tell from his eyes that he wasn't a bad person. It's not strange for good people to end up in jail. What is truly strange is for them to get out without being completely broken, without having changed their essence. This was the only place he found that allowed him to rent without an ID and without a deposit. He knew the building owner, who gave him a chance. His plan was to find some work, even if it was temporary, as a trash collector, street sweeper, whatever he could find. He just wanted to earn some money and be able to go home to his mom, who he had asked to never visit him in prison. She had waited for him for so long that he didn't want to show up empty-handed. He wanted to bring home some groceries for the week, or at least something to have for dinner. But at the time, all he had was a bag with his clothes, nothing else. And the apartment they gave him was empty, except for a small refrigerator that barely worked and was very noisy, and a full-length mirror in the bedroom about his size. That first night, he settled to sleep on the floor, covering himself with the clothes he had. He was hungry. He looked terrible. The mirror made him feel even more sad. It made him see his reflection. It made him see what he had become. At another time, it would have motivated him to do something to change that image. Instead, he got up and took that mirror out of the bedroom and into the living room. He tried to sleep. It was only 10 o'clock at night, but he thought he'd get up very early to go look for work. He found a food stand that had been open all night and asked them if they needed help cleaning up, and managed to earn a few pesos. He kept looking like that from place to place. Most rejected him, but around 2 in the afternoon, he struck some luck. He hadn't eaten anything all day and was starving when he found a car paint shop. He asked if they had any work for him, even if just for the day, some spare change would be enough. The manager told him he was in luck.
"Look, we don't have a shop boy for a week. If you want to come work, the job is yours. But only for a week. You don't need to know much. You just have to be here for whatever the painters need."
He hadn't felt so happy in a long time. He thought that with that little salary, a week's work, he'd be able to go see his mom. His face lit up so much that the manager invited him to go where the others ate. They offered him a taco and half a glass of soda that tasted like glory. He stayed to work the rest of the afternoon, and they invited him to dinner after. When he started walking back to the building, the closer he got, the sadder and more discouraged he felt, wanting not to return.
"You know this place can have that effect. No one is here by choice. Miss Teresa was here for a long time, but you already know what happened to her,
said my mom. Then she continued. Before entering, some men at the door offered him something to take away his tiredness. At least that's how they put it. He didn't accept. The men laughed at him and told him they would wait for him. That sooner or later, he was going to give in. No one can stand living here without a little help. He was very, very tired, but upon entering his apartment, he felt it even more, as if he had an enormous weight on his back. The first thing he saw when he entered was his reflection in that old mirror. He didn't like what he saw. It was as if it wasn't him, but a horrible version of himself. He wanted to take a shower, but he didn't have a towel. He was going to look for a t-shirt to dry himself off with, but he lay down instead. He closed his eyes for a moment of rest when a noise woke him up. Someone was knocking on his door. He shouted that he was coming and they stopped knocking. It took him a few seconds to wake up and walk over. That's when he caught his reflection in the mirror. There was someone else in it. He turned on the light, and the other person was gone. He opened the door and looked both ways down that long dark hallway, but there was nothing there. He saw that there were lights on in the apartment across the way, so he went over to knock. He asked the shirtless, heavily tattooed 40-year-old man who opened the door if he had seen who was knocking on his door. But the neighbor shrugged. No. The young man dared to ask the neighbor if he had a spare towel he could borrow, the oldest one he had. The neighbor looked over his shoulder as if something caught his attention inside the empty apartment. Then, without saying anything, the neighbor closed the door on the young man's face. The young man felt very confused, but when he had barely returned to his apartment, the neighbor opened the door again. He shuffled over with some blankets, a pillow, a towel, and two changes of clothes.
You're just getting out, right?
He asked. Yes, said the young man. I got out the day before yesterday. The neighbor helped arrange the things on the floor, but took one of the blankets he had brought and used it to cover the mirror completely, without giving an explanation. After a moment, he asked the young man another question.
Do you believe in the devil?
I believe in God, the young man replied.
Well, then you believe in hell. Be careful. Here on this floor, all the apartments have a mirror like this one. Cover it. Always.
Then how am I going to use it? Asked the young man.
During the day you can leave it uncovered, but never look at it with the lights off. Keep the things I brought you. Just return the favor to someone who needs it once you're back on your feet. I'll tell you three things before I leave. You can think the mirror thing is bullshit. I thought so too. But one day, you'll ask the neighbors, but no one will help you. You'll ask me if you can throw it away. But you can't. They won't let you.
The young man was so tired, so confused, that he didn't even know what to say. That night he slept very well. He didn't have the nightmare from the previous nights. There were no figures watching him sleep. The next morning he left early. He worked hard. He earned every penny. At the end of the day, he was exhausted. He left the shop and walked to the building. The guys at the entrance asked him if he still didn't need anything to make it through the night. He said no again, but he started to feel dizzy. He could barely make it up the stairs, as if his blood pressure had suddenly dropped. A bright stain covered his vision. When he got to his hallway, a very thin lady in a red dress greeted him. Or maybe a girl. He couldn't see her face no matter how hard he tried. He could barely see where he was walking. He opened the door to his apartment and dashed to drink some water. He had left the door open behind him and someone knocked. He turned around. He couldn't see anything or anyone at the door. Thinking it was the woman he had just seen, he said something that turned out to be a terrible mistake. Come in.
This is something I want you to always remember, son. That's why I tell you these stories. Never, for no reason whatsoever, invite someone in when you don't see anyone at the door.
no one entered the apartment. The young man still couldn't see well. He couldn't make out anyone in the hallway. He locked the door and fell asleep very quickly, very deeply. But suddenly, in the middle of the night, he woke up in a terrible panic. He came out of his room and found the blanket covering the mirror on the floor. He lowered his gaze before looking at the reflection, feeling like there was something in the mirror that he shouldn't see. He picked up the blanket to cover it again, but when he bent down for it, he could tell out of the corner of his eye that the reflection in front of him wasn't moving exactly the same as him. It wasn't a reflection, but an imitation of his movements. He closed his eyes and hurried to cover it again. He returned to the room, to his makeshift bed, when he heard that heavy blanket fall off the mirror again. The street light coming in through the window made a reflection on the floor, and he noticed someone was walking there, behind the door, even though he couldn't hear its steps. He lit a candle he had next to him, so he wouldn't see those shadows, and eventually fell asleep. He woke up before 6. The candle had been completely consumed. Sunrise wasn't far off, and he could see there was no one behind the door from the reflection on the floor, or at least not right behind it. The neighbor's warning weighed on him. He knew he couldn't ask him for anything else, that no one was going to tell him anything, that he couldn't get rid of the mirror. Worst of all, that he had no other options. The only reason he got that place was due to a favor. He thought about what his plan would be. He just had to arrive every day tired enough to fall asleep quickly and finish out that week there, or at least until they paid him. And then he could stay with his mom. He tried with all his might, and upon arriving to work that last day, he found the assistant he had been covering for had returned. He would no longer be needed. He went to look for the manager at the office, but he wasn't there, just the owner. He approached him to collect his pay. But the man told him he hadn't finished the week, he couldn't expect to be paid. The young man was trying to say he just wanted to be paid for the days he had actually worked. But the owner kept giving him a hard time.
"You've just gotten out, right? What are you going to do, sue us? Look, if you want, I can pay you with a letter of recommendation. I can put that you worked here a few days and didn't steal anything. But now, if you insist on charging for a week you didn't work, well, then it's like you are stealing from me. I'd have to call the police."
The young man left devastated. He didn't have a penny in his pocket. He had only eaten what his colleagues at the workshop offered him, and now he had already lost a whole week of time. He wasn't sleeping well and was very tired. Every night someone removed the blanket from that mirror that assured him a better night, and it wasn't a dream like that first night in the place. No, this time, what was there behind the door was something he could see. He wandered all over downtown trying to find another job, but didn't find anything. He had only begged once, out of necessity, and it had cost him 4 years of his life. He was very hungry, very scared, and he could no longer stand the urge to see his mother, but he couldn't. He couldn't go back like that, the way he had left, empty-handed. He returned to the building at nightfall. The men at the entrance asked him the usual, and this time, he stopped for a moment. "But I have no money," he told them.
"No problem, my friend. I'll wait for you. What would you like?"
The young man said he would think about it, that he would come back. And he entered the building. The stairs looked darker than usual, his hallway empty as always. But this time, there were no sounds coming from the apartments. All the apartment lights seemed to be off. When he got to his door, he noticed the one across the hall was ajar. Music was coming from inside. He remembered that the neighbor was so distrustful, he never left it open. Even when he went in for a few seconds for those blankets that time. The young man found it very strange. He peeked in, and there was a woman, with her back turned, dancing slowly in a long red dress. He decided to ignore her and enter his own apartment. But upon entering, he saw his reflection in the mirror. The reflection walked towards the bedroom before he started to do so himself. But he followed, as if he no longer had the strength to do anything else. As if giving in to their commands. He was going to go back down. He was going to accept the offer from those guys. Who knows, maybe he could even work with them. Until he heard a voice inside his head, but which he knew was real. He just knew it. The voice wouldn't stop repeating a phrase and he couldn't stop listening to it. I'm in here with you. I'm in here with you. I'm in here with you. The door closed. That room had no windows at all, so he couldn't see anything at all. He started groping around for his candle. He couldn't find it, no matter how much he searched. And then he touched something hot, burning. He pulled his hand back reflexively, but then he reached back out with curiosity. He tried to touch it, to find its shape, and noticed he was touching a hand. A hand that seemed to have burnt skin and was burning hot. He stumbled out of the apartment running as fast as he could. He didn't look back at the mirror, but a glow caught his eye, and he thought he saw the mirror reflecting flames, as if something was burning in the apartment, something only that mirror could see. Upon leaving the hallway, he noticed the neighbor's door was now wide open. He noticed a mirror identical to his in the corner, uncovered. A man with a bag full of clothes came out of the end of the hallway, and the young man asked him what was going on.
"We're not staying here tonight. No one is staying on this floor tonight," he replied.
"But why did he leave his apartment door open?" asked the young man.
"They came looking for him this morning and took him away. The police, we think. But the truth is, it could have been anyone."
That neighbor had never seen the young man before, but he knew not to leave him alone. He asked if he had another place to stay. The young man replied that yes, he could stay with his mother, but he had no way to get there. The neighbor offered to drive him in his taxi. The young man got his few belongings and the two hurried down. At the entrance, they ran into the manager from the workshop, the one who had offered the young man the job in the first place. He knew what building the young man lived in and had come looking for him. His co-workers had found out what the owner did to him, and they had all chipped in to pay him for a few days of work. It wasn't much, but the young man hugged the manager, telling him that he was literally changing his life. The taxi driver took him to a supermarket, where he happily bought some bags of food. Then he bought half a chicken at the butcher's with his last pesos. The young man told the taxi driver his whole story on the ride to his mother's house. What he had experienced that past week. When they arrived, the neighbor heard the young man's mother's shriek of joy as she came out in her nightgown to hug her son, to hug him like he was a child. It made the two of them cry. The young man tried to pay something, anything, to the driver, but he wouldn't accept. The young man gave him a hug instead, a very tight hug, full of gratitude. And that's how that young man, who had ended up in this building by luck, also had a lot of luck escaping this place before it was too late.
"I think you already know, son, why I'm telling you this story,"
my mom said.
"As you've probably guessed, that taxi driver from the third floor was your uncle Arturo. May he rest in peace. And that woman dancing in that empty apartment, you unfortunately saw recently too. She's that apparition that now haunts the entire building."
It was raining that night. I looked out the window, but I couldn't see anything more than that rain falling, lit up by the corner lamppost. The storm made the street look peaceful, ironically. The lowlifes who inhabited it at those hours had taken shelter somewhere nearby, but they would come back any minute. They always did. I scanned the street, and a figure caught my attention. Under another lamppost, there was a figure in white. It remained motionless. At first, I thought it was a trash can or something. but I wiped the window with my hand. Then it was clear it was a person. I couldn't make out their face at that distance, or if it was a man or woman. I only noticed it was a person, looking in our direction, towards our building. But it wasn't strange for people with mental problems and things like that to roam that area. It was 20 minutes to midnight. My mom will be here soon, I thought. I hurried to bed and pretended to be asleep. Mom arrived. She sat down on my bed, and I felt her hand on my shoulder. Don't miss the next episode, the second part to this story. This has been Tales of the Night.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.